today on Code Pen Radio.
Hey, everybody, time for another Code Pen Radio. 292, it looks like. Well, let's do the intros. I got Steve in here.
Hey.
And podcast superhero Marie. Hey, Marie.
Hey, everybody.
Hey, so we've been on the podcast a little bit recently. The two podcasts ago, we talked about packages, meaning JavaScript packages, meaning largely like using stuff on NPM on CodePen. We're going to end up talking about that again because there's some new developments and new interesting things you should know. And we're going to talk about it in the context of projects. And the very last podcast was just about projects and how all the work we've done on it and how good it's gotten. Well, here's another thing that we've changed on projects just in the last few days that makes it better again. There's, you know, a bunch of stuff to talk about. Maybe that if you're looking to change podcasts in the next 30 seconds, let me just do this really quick. We now like offer the bundler Rollup inside of projects because Rollup can like do some nicer things with bundling that we wanted to take advantage of. Meaning that like if you use Skypack imports, like those ES modules import style statements, they'll just work with your bundling, meaning that you can turn on your bundler and take advantage of JSX and things and still use projects. So that's the long and short of it. And now you can listen to us talk for like 25 more minutes about how that all works.
Okay? Deep technical details.
But first, as we're getting ready for this podcast, first of all, like all of us have like our host file open and we're like comparing notes on that. Don't get me started on how that happened. That was a weird aside before a podcast. And then somehow I was talking about pasting. And then we talked about the app paste and that, and then it got started on all that. So we're probably 15 minutes behind on recording this podcast just because we got side conversations. And I'm like, just wait, hold on. Let's talk about it on the podcast a little bit because it's a little bit interesting. The setup for this is there's an app called Paste. Steven turned me on to it, right?
Yeah. Yeah. It's a nice little kind of clipboard manager, if you will. More like clipboard history, I guess. Everything you copy kind of goes in there and you can easily like search through what you copied previously. So if you know you copied some snippet earlier, but your clipboard's already been overwritten by something else, you can go back and find it. Images, files, all that kind of good stuff. It's just a super quick way.
Colors are like represented nicely in there and stuff. And I used to think, well, this is a little esoteric. I'm not always in the position where, because sometimes you get in that, what would you call that? When you're trying to do like a triangle of clipping and pasting and there's no way to do it with, it reminds me of that like fable where there's like an alligator, or a turtle and something, and you have to get across the river and you have to do it in the right order to, in order to win. Sometimes you get in that situation with the clipboard. You're like, we only have one raft. How are we going to get across the river? That comes up once in a while. But not so often, you know, so I avoided clipboard managers for a while because I'm like, whatever, when I'm in that situation, I just like open a text document and paste it there real quick. It's like not a big deal. But I think Steven set it up better. It's more like you're like, oh, I know I had something on my clipboard before. Maybe I can find it again real quick. And when you're in that situation, you just do a special thing. I think mine's just Command Shift V or something.
That's usually what I have mine bound to.
Yeah. Then it comes up and it gives you this, it's a really nice UX for finding stuff that was previously on your clipboard and you paste it in. And it's got search. And like I said, it's got special stuff for colors and code and stuff. It's pretty fancy, but the onboarding of it is nice in that you kind of just forget it's there until you need it. And then the more and more you use it, the more and more you're like, get used to using it and use it more. But they lost Steven as a customer because they did the classic thing where they're like, you know, we should make more money on this app. Why don't we charge monthly instead of one off, right? And just kind of like instantly did that.
Yeah, and it wasn't like a cheap app necessarily. Like it was probably $20 or more initially, like when I bought it. And then, you know, just all of a sudden, like there was a forced update and it, you know, now we're subscription and you got to pay us all this, you know, do this within 30 days or, you know, we're holding your clipboard for ransom.
Oh, for real? Oh, man. Yeah, usually because
not cool.
An app that I use, Text Expander, I mean, I think I've talked about this a million times on the podcast. They switched over to subscription also, but you could still keep using the old version, which is not subscription and doesn't have the same cloud features. And so that's what I'm still on. I'm on the old version. That seems better to leave
it that. It wasn't even that smooth. Like the update just happened.
Oh boy.
And, you know, I think through like the app store, so you couldn't really roll back or anything like that.
Oh, no. Yeah, oh, God bless their support desk. That must have been a difficult time.
Twitter was pretty rough for a while.
I'm trying to look at their pricing because that was the other thing that came up is that like, okay, well, fine. If it's really, really good. And in this case, it was to me, I'd pay them. I don't think I'd pay them $20 a month, but I'm sure it's cheaper than that. But I can't see.
Yeah, it was just expensive enough that I was like, I can't justify that for
even at five. That's kind of a lot for a clipboard manager. But then
every month.
Yeah. So then I bring up this concept of SetApp, which is like a Mac subscription app service, which sends up all kinds of red flags for me, like, ooh, gross. You know, like, I don't tend to like those things. The group packages tend to have a bunch of junk they put together and they try to sell it as a package because just more equals better. Get more, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But I find SetApp that not to be the case. I think they have a ton of cool apps, and it's for iOS and your Mac, which is kind of rad. So you get apps there too. Like, for example, Paste is for iOS too, where I'm almost sure I wouldn't use it, but whatever. But there's a bunch of stuff that I actually do use in SetApp. So it's not cheap either. It's like $10 a month or $9.99 a month. I think there's different packages and stuff, but it's got Paste in it. So right there, it's one of these things where like, it almost pays itself for itself with one app. And by the time you're at two, it almost certainly is. And if you can, you know, find enough stuff in there, I think it's reasonable that you might find 10 things in there that are cool that you use. Yeah. At that point.
There's a lot of good ones that I've used before, like Squash for compressing files and images. Hype, that's like a web animation builder. Like, it actually builds code for
web animations. Oh, I'm looking at it now. It's got a bunch of stuff I like. It's got Table Plus. It's got Ulysses. That's a nice writing app. Oh, boy. Mm-hmm. Well, okay.
I like this one, Clean My Mac, which finds big files and deletes them and like cleans all your caches and stuff. It's kind of a nice little like feel good app for like cleaning up your Mac. And there's one for like converting video that I found really good. Anyway, it's nice. So that's not an ad for that. That's what we talked about before the podcast. So that's
what we were talking about. Yeah. It's funny because a lot of the time when we're getting started with the show, we have a good conversation right before and it's like, we should have talked about that on the show. But, you know, you don't want to repeat yourself too much. But yeah. Behind the scenes, even further behind the scenes.
Yeah, indeed. This episode of CodePen Radio is brought to you in part by Jetpack Backups. Jetpack is a WordPress plugin. We use it for all kinds of stuff at even on a CodePen. Like, this podcast is published through a self-hosted WordPress site, and that's, you know, blog.codepen.io, and then we put the podcast at /podcast. That site is backed up by Jetpack. So that's pretty sweet, right? If there's a problem with the site in any capacity at all, it has happened, believe me. I can log in to any particular point and restore to that point, or download a zip file and put that in another backup location, have double backups if I wanted to do that kind of thing, which is nice. Just backup alone are pretty crucial, but Jetpack really kind of takes it to the next level because of how cleanly it does it, how easy they are to explore, how you can download them any point and restore for you. So it's not like, oh, here's the backup, now it's on you to, like, I don't know, get back into your database and do the MySQL commands to put the data back into place and roll back resources to this point and stuff. That's great anyway. Like, you got to have the backup, and should a disaster happen, I would be grateful just to have the backpack, but we'd be more than willing to put things back into place. But it's nice that the restore UI is there too, so that it's no work. You know, I can be like, oh, there's a problem, I got to restore. Because usually you're in a kind of a state of panic anyway, and you just click a button and have it happen for you rather swiftly. Pretty satisfying thing. Now, Jetpack is not just a backup thing. It does all kinds of stuff. It improves the search. And in fact, the search on blog, all the CodePen docs is handled by Jetpack Search, which does a tremendous job of kind of a full page search experience that's super fast and real time and cool. Both those things are like a la carte. So you're like, I don't care about the search, or I don't care about the backups, I do those in some other way. Fine. You pay for them separately anyway. So Jetpack has moved to this a la carte model of like, only pay for what you use. It's pretty cool. Thanks, Jetpack. Okay, so two podcasts ago, we talked about Skypack, right? Quick review. Should we do it? You want to do it?
Yeah, Skypack. If you want NPM packages on the web, you can use Skypack to import them as native JavaScript modules. So just script type equals module. And, you know, we do that automatically on CodePen. So if you just import React from cdn.skypack.dev/react, then it just works exactly like if you'd Yarn installed that locally.
Thing with Skypack is, and I'm writing a blog post about, so it's kind of fresh in mind, is that it does this, this is a weird word, I don't know if it's industry standard, but they said upconverts packages from, that were kind of not built with ES modules in mind, but they do this upconversion and then all of a sudden they are ready to be used in the browser. That's significant. That's super cool. There's all these packages on NPM that people may, that for me included, or especially me, have been like, oh, I want to use this on CodePen, but I can't. Because authors, rightfully so, just didn't author their packages with that in mind. They assumed that you're in an environment in which that you're running a bundler, like Webpack or Rollup or Parcel or something. There's a bunch of bundlers. And that's a somewhat decent, fair assumption, but it's starting to become less and less true. And now CodePen gets to benefit from that highly, which I think is great. I was just playing with one this morning. You know, styled components, pretty popular CSS and JS library that you kind of like declare a new little mini component with like those backticks, and you put CSS in the backticks, and then you use the component that you just created, and it just kind of like wrap the, that becomes this parent component with that CSS applied to it. Like, I don't hate the syntax. I think it's kind of neat. And I think it's also the far and away winner of the CSS and JS syntax wars so far.
Seems to be, yeah.
I don't think you can use that on CodePen without packages support in some way. It's not built to be used that
way. Well, there were some issues with it. Like, they updated a version and like the browser support broke. So a lot of like popular packages will actually provide like a version that's meant to be run in the browser, not you know, in a bundler. And in one of the major version updates, that just like completely broke.
Oh,
and
yeah.
So I remember answering that. A lot of support questions about that at one point. But yeah,
it was like, thanks for breaking a feature that we used kind of thing. Hey, but you kind of blame
it. Now it's much easier with Skypack.
Yeah, in a way that kind of won't break, which is great, especially because if you pin a version, that version on the CDN will never change and your pen will never change. It will work forever. Hallelujah. That's one story of a million stories of stuff on NPM that you'd like to use, you know, that this kind of integration unlocks. So you don't, you know, like I think we mentioned in the Skypack, so you don't need our permission or whatever to use Skypack. It's just valid JavaScript. It's just an ES modules import. It will work in any JavaScript file of type module wherever. But we want to help you, you know, we want to make it as easy as possible. So we rolled out this thing that allows you to search packages on NPM. You click one and then it drops that import statement for you in the JavaScript. It's just quicker. And I've been using it. It's great. I did the styled components that way this morning. I just searched for styled components, hit the button, that became available, used it in some JavaScript, off to the races, super easy and fast. Now that works in pens, and like Steven said, we kind of auto-detect the module support for you and make that all work. Great. It also works in projects, again, because you need no special permission to use the syntax. It's just valid JavaScript. So if you write a whatever index.js file in a project and use this, as long as you link it up. And in projects, it's on you. You'll have to put type equals module on your script tag. It will just work in projects too. Asterisk! Until you flip on a bundler. So in your project settings, you know, projects have settings just like pens have settings. You flip on the bundler, and it was Webpack before, and it said Webpack on there. So we've since removed that because like I said at the top of the show, moved away from Webpack. So now it doesn't even say, because it kind of doesn't matter. I don't know that the average person cares that much how your stuff is bundled. I think we want to keep that abstracted away a little bit. Like, we'll bundle your stuff and run Babel and stuff. Don't worry. We'll make as an efficient package as you want. But that kind of frees us up that as bundlers change, we might be able to change them. I really doubt that any of you out there care that we've changed your bundler on you. The feature didn't even work that super well before this update anyway, so there's that. The reason you'd turn on a bundler is partially for performance, right? To smash all your files together into one bundle. Now, that's funny because ES imports, you know, from Skypack don't bundle the stuff together. If you want to use five imports, you write five import statements at the top of the file and it makes five web requests for those five different packages. That's the world we live in now. Like there's less pain. That's not a bad practice anymore like it used to be. It's almost kind of a good practice because they're all cached and they all come from the same origin over HTTP2. So it's nice and fast, yada, yada. But the big reason in projects that you turn on a bundler is because that's the one way in projects that you get Babel run over your JavaScript or processed or whatever you want to call it. What was the word I didn't like? Pre-processed. I don't hate, but I don't love. But it was like transmorgified.
It was converted or something.
Yeah, don't love that one.
Yeah,
there's one that people still use that I think is annoying. That's like a very exotic word for processing a file. That anyway, I'll remember it later. If you want Babel to run, which is a reasonable request, and it's the one way that your JSX will work, then you'd turn on the bundler. So it's a little, you know, it might still feel a little antiquated to some people and be like, that's the only way you get JSX. That's weird, but whatever. So now all of a sudden, and I just pushed this out this morning, so I'm all happy about it. If you want to like make a React project on CodePen with multiple files, meaning you have an index file and an app.js file and a component/header.js file and a component/footer.js file, like most React developers are used to working in that way. We certainly do at CodePen. You can do that in CodePen. You import React from Skypack and then you do local import statements below that for all your components and stuff, and you bundle them all together and Babel runs over it and you're good to go. And JSX is part of Babel. So you get this nice bundle. You can minify it. It all turns out really nicely. Now, the big thing is, why did we switch then from Webpack to Rollup? And the answer is that Webpack totally sucks at doing this.
Yeah, you would think something built around, you know, modules and like merging things would like support the native way of doing this, but that's just, it's not even an option anywhere in Webpack to just use native modules.
It's straight up not. It just isn't. It blows my mind. So imagine those two import statements. One of them says import React from https://cdn.skypack/react or whatever, like a fully qualified URL at the end of it, an import statement from that, an ES modules import. And an ES modules import below it that's locally relative. So the top one, you almost definitely don't want to be bundled together. Like it can't. That's weird to make a network request for that file. What you want in that situation is to just leave it alone. Leave it alone in the bundle. That line of code should look exactly like it was written by the author before. And that's the part that Webpack can't do. I feel like there's something like fundamental about Webpack that's like the way it spiders through all your files and finds the nested imports. Totally clever, changed the game, high five. They did cool work. It was important stuff. We used it at CodePen for producing actual CodePen. Like it's not like it's this terrible product or anything, but when it spiders through and it finds an import statement, it's like, this is mine now. I will do something with this. I am going to transform this line of code. You can do stuff like do a no op on it. Like you'd just be like, okay, you found that import, do nothing. But the do nothing means that it will remove that line of code. There is no native thing or plugin or anything that says, just leave it alone. Just leave it be. And that's the part that's just so shockingly weird. And, you know, I will give a high five to Fred over at Skypack, Snowpack, you know, the company that does all this, who've been talking back and forth with that kind of turned on to us this and kind of explained some of it. And he said Webpack 5 is a little smarter about this stuff, but still it's really not a super first-class citizen. And I didn't even look into it that much because, you know, I think we're on Webpack 4 still for this stuff, I think, right?
Yeah, this is still using Webpack.
To hear that 5 is just a step in that direction, but doesn't actually solve it, I was like, I just want out. And he's like, you should look at Rollup because it's, you know, can handle this more gracefully or whatever. And this is like the umpteenth time I've heard people kind of say Rollup is cool, you know? So we thought we'd just try it because how hard can it be, right? It's just a JavaScript API and our rewrite of projects that we talked about last podcast. Holy cow, it's a way better system for us. It's a lot easier to work on now. The way that projects are processed is just way more awesome. Super highlight there is it just kind of runs in Node and it runs a pipeline that we kind of construct on the fly and it runs in a Lambda over a file system that we mount with EFS. So anyway, there's a good local development story for it. So Sean and I were able to pair and just be like, oh, I see. Here's the one little file that's like 80 lines of code that does the Webpack part. Let's just duplicate it and call it process rollup instead of process Webpack and just see if we can do a straight replacement of Webpack and rollup. And what, 30 minutes later, we're like, well, that worked.
Yeah. And you're skipping over the large fact that we were actually able to run projects locally and all the processing and all of that, which was a huge milestone development in the new project setup to just even be able to run all of that locally without having to deploy things to Lambdas and like all that.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And I think that is by virtue of the serverless.com framework, which has the kind of like local development story that we ultimately use behind the scenes to do it. Although our development environment is all fancied up thanks to Dee and Alex, where we kind of like spin up a little Docker locally that does all that work automatically. So we don't have to do anything. It's not one of those things where you have to, you know, open 8 terminal windows and run all kinds of commands and do special configuration locally. It's all kind of built into our dev environment, thanks to them. Very cool. So it was very satisfying to work on because it really didn't take us that long to replace it, only to find that the rollup was like weirdly similar to Webpack. Like it's still pretty complicated.
I've used rollup before. Like that's the kind of bundler for splitting.js we talked about a little bit. But I didn't set it up. You know, the Christopher Wallace that I was working with on it set all that up and got it running. And so I didn't really think much about it. But actually getting into it, I was expecting a much simpler setup. But yeah, it kind of feels one for one, comparable to the Webpack API.
Yeah.
Maybe a little streamlined, but.
Yeah, I thought that's how I felt too. I was like, this is, you know, it still has dozens of configuration things that you pass into it, and then a bunch of API commands, and then each one of those API commands has like different but similar config options and whatever. It's not particularly easy, but it had some things like, what do you want the output format to be? Oh, well, we want it to be AMD or whatever, not CJS, which is Common JS, which is the one that isn't browser ready really. And then as soon as we kind of found that setting and turned it on, and it was like, worked.
It was like, yeah, cool. I don't know that it's that rollup is as complex as Webpack or as bad or anything like that, but it kind of comes down to the documentation. Like Marie and I were talking about a few weeks back on the podcast when, you know, they don't, when they don't approach it from like a real human standpoint in the documentation, like, hey, here's what it takes to get started. You know, like here's just the bare minimum. Like when we were jumping in there, the documentation just already starts out with this extra complexity that doesn't even need to be a part of like, you know, what we're doing. So, you know, shout out to documentation writers out there.
Yeah.
We appreciate you.
Yeah. It's weird. I found the roll-up docs were okay, I get, you know, like
better than Webpack.
Yeah,
but still just hard.
It's funny, it's like, who are they for exactly? That, you know, that because there's a lot of time spent on the command line thing, but we aren't doing command line processing. I mean, I could see needing that someday, but like all those like dash dash options they use in the command line, not useful to us. We're using the JavaScript API because we're doing the processing in a Lambda, like I said. So we needed to look at that. And that's maybe a little less fleshed out than the command line usage. And then there's just like a bunch of docs on like how ES modules work, period. And then you're like, that, but that's not rollup. That's just JavaScript. Like, why is there docs on that? But I guess it kind of makes sense. I don't know. Okay, but anyway, it totally solved the problem, and it does the crucial step of just leaving the damn import statement alone. So just that unlocks a lot of possibility for a lot of stuff, but really for React a lot. because it has the JSX processing while leaving the other import statements alone. So right away when we rolled it out, I found a cool kind of React and Tailwind based little kind of like a starter theme, but for like an app, you know. It's kind of like, it just looks super modern. It just has really nice typography and really clean, and has like page transitions and scroll transitions, and it's all like, sign up for the app or use one of these social auth things. I mean, I'm, when you look at it, you'll be like, yeah, that's cool. But there's no way that would have worked in projects before, because it just loaded too much different stuff from NPM, and you don't know, are those browser ready or not? Probably most of them aren't. And I don't know, but you just, I went through the import statements, put a little Skypack URL in front of them, and had a little bit of cleanup to do. It's some CSS stuff, that some like Tailwind directives that we don't support the processing of, but weren't that hard to replace. And boom, it worked. And I was like, yeah, sweet. Then I flipped over the template button. So I made that template available to all of you. So if you want to start with this sweet React template, just, you know, go to projects and it'll just be in the list of one that you can start with, you know? So we're trying to like clean up our existing templates and like make cooler ones for you available. So you, I think you're like 5 minutes away from a pretty nice website. You know, you're like, oh, we need a new website for the bakery. I always think of bakeries. I gotta stop. We need other examples.
So do I, honestly.
Yeah.
I'm just always thinking of bakeries.
You know, click the template button, change a little copy, change an image, hit deploy, and you got a, you know, bakery website really fast. You know, kind of love that about GroupM.
That's a nice looking template. I like that.
So, you know, what we didn't look at is other bundlers like Parcel. I think Rollup originally was simpler than Webpack, but then probably grew up over time and got more complex because they needed to support a million things. And then Parcel came along, which is now the easy one, but also is getting complicated. There'll probably be another one coming up soon that's like, now this bundler, this is the easy one. But Parcel is appealing to me too. So who knows? Maybe we'll look at that in the future, but it may end up being a custom sandbox. I mean, that's kind of the tricky part about in the enlightening part of all this to us, is that now that we have this processing so much easier, the projects of today on CodePen are very opinionated how you do things and how things get processed. But we're a hop, skip, and a jump away from another version of projects that just has a different set of opinions about how things are processed. Maybe it's totally ready to use Tailwind directives and uses Parcel as a bundler, for example. I'm sure that's not particularly hard for y'all to imagine, but wouldn't that be cool? Yeah. Okay. Well, that's fun. What else are we? So Skypack works in pens, works in projects. Projects are awesome now. I guess that's the whole point.
And you have a pretty good collection that demonstrates that, which I've seen a couple of people checking it out. That just shows how you can use Skypack and makes it pretty clear, you know, how you can use it. You can experiment with the pens in that collection and check out how they work.
I think we'll make that part of marketing going forward. It's kind of wait. There was so many dominoes to fall in this stuff recently that we wanted to wait for them all to fall. Like just this morning, Shaw was working on like a error reporting for bad imports, right?
Yeah. Because basically for, you know, in browser, if you just type import React from React, that's broken. That's not going to work in any browser without some kind of bundler or package manager or whatever. So now in pins, we'll kind of report that to the user and, you know, suggest Skypack there as a solution. And so, you know, getting that error messaging in place.
Nice. A little bit of that CodePen magic.
Yeah, you might get that if you copy and paste from some tutorial that suggests that you import React or Preact or anything else in that way that assumes a bundler that you'll see in lots of tutorials. Now CodePen will be like, oh, hey, that's not going to work because that assumes a bundler that's not happening in pens. But here's how to fix it. So that's pretty cool. So that was one of the dominoes. And the other, you know, the first we had Skypack working in pens, but it's like, oh, should we do a lot of marketing for that? Like it doesn't work in projects yet. Let's get it working in projects first. That's another domino. And, you know, there was more like that, but now they're starting to all fall. So you'll probably hear more from us, you know, like this podcast, and then we'll send out an email for it. And then I was going to say, like, we should make our tweets, like they don't have to be about Skypacker modules, what they can be about is cool things you can do.
Yeah.
And they'll just so happen to use those technologies because they're possible now and weren't before, which I think is fun.
Yeah, because I mean, it's a good way to introduce something that's new. Even if you haven't worked with these at all in the past, this is an opportunity to check them out and learn how they work. So it's always cool to demonstrate the cool things you can do instead of just hitting people with documentation. Because let me tell you something about documentation. As much as we love it, almost nobody reads it. You gotta show it to people in lots of different ways. And it's really cool to be able to have all these opportunities. And I was mentioning the collection, having the new collection UI and the way that we can work with collections to reorganize them. And it's super easy to add pens to collections. It just makes everything that we do with collections so much easier. So I really do appreciate that nice little upgrade that we put out earlier this year.
Yeah, me too. I'm starting to not even think about it, you know.
Just I think about it every day. Because I'm always putting together the challenge collections each week. And every single time I'm like, this is so much easier. This is so much more fun. I love it.
Yeah, but you just like use it, right? You just switch over to the grid view and you drag stuff around and get it looking just how you want to. Like there's some muscle memory for it. That's one of the dominoes that hasn't fallen yet is now that, because now we got it working in projects nicely and I have the collection built for pens already. And we're just, we're real close to like, why can't you put a project in a collection? Like that's, you just can't at the moment.
Not yet, we're looking at it.
We're looking at it. That's the thing. We haven't like done a true like technical analysis of how hard it is, but that's the kind of thing you're like, should you market it now? Or do you wait for that another little domino to fall, you know? And then like for a minute, we had to remove uploading a screenshot for a project. Mm-hmm. That's still, as we speak, down. But if we put that back, then the thumbnails for projects that use this cool feature will look cooler, and that makes the marketing better. So you do wait for that domino to fall, you know? It's
like, yeah, and which it would make it worth putting them in collections. Yeah, it's exactly. Like that's the question we always have to ask ourselves. And it's like, you know, we've come across these problems before, where it's like, okay, we want to market, but what exactly are we pointing to? Because you can't just hit everybody with just like, hey, projects. It's good. We have to have something specific that we can explain and that we can show. And so, yeah, you know, and unfortunately, because we are so close to the product, we are always thinking about how it could be better and what we should be doing next and what's happening in the future. When sometimes it makes it a little difficult for us to recognize, okay, this is actually good and we should show it to people now because it would be helpful to them right now. So there's always that balance. And, you know, it's something that we'll always be working on, balancing out the features and talking about the features. But that's what this podcast is part of.
Absolutely. Okay. Thanks, everybody listening. Please check out Projects. It's very cool. And it's just going to get cooler over time. We're just feels so good to like, you know, do these like big infrastructure sprints and then like kind of reap the rewards of it. And at the moment we're in the reap the rewards of it stage. It's
yeah,
feeling good.
It's a good place to be.
Okay, right. Cheers. See you later.
Thanks for listening, everyone. Bye-bye.
Bye.